Around the NFL Podcast. Greg can't wait to wrap in Atlanta.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Greg, you have to be. Greg likes rap. We all know that. Mm-hmm. That's something that is well known on the show. Greg likes rap. You have to be excited that joining Maroon 5 on the halftime stage, the likes of Travis Scott, Big Boy, and now we're hearing speculation of more area rappers involved, like, Erica, did you see it in the news?
I did.
Who is it? All, who else is also rumored now? You don't know.
You did not read the news.
No
clue.
I gotcha.
No.
No clue.
Anyway, Greg, you like rap, so let's vamp a little bit while I find out who else is playing.
Well, I think the big question is, does that mean Andre 3000 is not there? Because Big Boy is part of what I would argue is the greatest rap group of all time. But if it's just Big Boy, what are they going to play? Like a verse from Rosa Parks? Are they going to do like The Way You Move, you know, I Like The Way You Move, which is kind of a Big Boy solo album, because the jams that'll get people going, I feel like, are more the Outkast songs. It's a big question.
I think you're...
I mean, he's only right. Coming on for like 1 minute, too.
Right, I when mean, they how say many songs are they going to jam
one.
Into this
I would
12
say
minute performance?
He might get one thong, maybe two, you would think.
Feels muddled.
Is he allowed to play Outkast songs without Andre 3000? I'm glad we're starting with the important topics.
Absolutely.
Is that enough vamping for you?
That was good Dan? Vamping. I still can't... Lil Jon.
Jeez,
he had his moment.
Big Boy and Lil Jon.
It's Atlanta. And
I mean,
Jermaine Dupri.
Lil Jon played like halftime at the Timberwolves game on Tuesday night before the Super Bowl last year.
Ouch.
And I just feel like, I don't know.
So you sound
that is stage
underwhelmed.
Yeah, with the Lil Jon news.
Okay.
Aren't you going to get Cardi B in there, obviously?
No, she turned it down, reportedly.
Oh, really? That's kind of a hot mess in the fact that Maroon 5, I thought the only lone...
Be careful here, Mark. You don't want to get in trouble again with the league.
I'm just saying that would have been like an overt Easter egg to make sure you had in place before you signed up Maroon 5 for this.
I mean, it'll be tough to top the year that the Black Eyed Peas, you know, blew the doors off wherever they were.
But. I still think about that performance in North Texas. All right. This is the Championship Sunday preview show. So much to get to, because we have the four best teams in football squaring off on Sunday. Two 1v2 battles in the Rams and Saints and the Patriots and Chiefs. So we're very excited about that. A quick reminder, by the way, as we mentioned on our Wednesday show, yes, we will be live from Atlanta. We can't confirm if we're going to have Andre 3000, but we won't deny it either.
I mean, we might have him as much as the Super Bowl halftime show.
Exactly. A live show at City Winery in Atlanta on Thursday, January 31st. The Around the NFL Podcast live during Super Bowl week. Wes, you're excited.
Can't wait.
Ticket information pinned to our Twitter page, Around the NFL.
I like Erica before the show. She's like, oh, should I play this during that announcement? Should I play this? How about this background music? And then nothing.
Well, you didn't even like build it up. You were like, I'm going to do a big announcement. You're like, yeah, come check out our live show.
The big announcement was yesterday's show.
Okay.
You missed that.
But like.
Okay.
There it is. Ouch.
City Winery in Atlanta. Be there. Get your tickets if you want to. And they're going fast. We're getting a lot of tweets of people are buying tickets, so I can't imagine they're going to last long. So on the top of Around the NFL Twitter page should be the link there. If not, check our feeds. That's the best we can do.
Good salesmanship. Create some sort of pressure that the tickets might not last long, and they
got
to buy.
I got a DM from one of our longtime listeners, Betsy Clark, who is making the trip to Atlanta just for this show.
Oh, my goodness. So we'll have to meet and speak with Betsy.
I went to Atlanta yesterday to check out the venue.
Tell
us. And it is really, really cool. It's a cool winery where they have all these, like, you know, they brew their own wine. Brew? That's not the word. That's beer. They vine their own wine.
Nope, you're getting worse.
they mull their own wine.
Fine.
They make their wine.
But there's like a lot of...
They make some wine.
It's really cool. You guys are going to love it.
Good.
And there's a piano there, apparently.
There is.
Does anybody know how to play the piano?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You're proficient?
Yeah, I can read music and that. Yeah.
Wow.
You're so amazing.
Thank you.
Well, she also just said that she knew all the acts in the Super Bowl halftime show, so I don't know if we can totally
try. I buy this more than that past thing that you were wrong about.
All right, so let's get into it. Two games. Let's start in the NFC, where the Los Angeles Rams are feeling good about themselves. They went 13-3. That was good enough for the two seed. They beat up on the Cowboys last Saturday in their building. However, they got edged by the Saints during the regular season in a great battle between these two teams at the Superdome. And that ended up being the difference because the Saints finished at 13-3, but had the head-to-head tiebreaker. Hence, the NFC title game, Chris Wessling, is played at the Superdome. And why don't we – there's so many places, so many ways to dig into this game. But why don't we just start there? Your feeling about how big a difference home field is in this game compared to how close these teams are. Could that be the difference, just where this game is played?
I think it's a huge difference. First of all, no road team has made the Super Bowl since 2012.
Oof.
That's a huge factor. Second of all, I believe the Saints have the best home field advantage in these playoffs. Kansas City's is great too, but playing indoors, as loud as that stadium was last week, the Saints took a few roundhouses from a very high-flying Eagles team to start that game. They were jittery themselves, and then for the final three quarters, I thought just absolutely dominated that game in a way that did not show up on the scoreboard.
I agree. Their offense got back on track. That was their best offensive game probably since they played the Rams. It's the most yards they've had in a game. Even though they only scored 20 points, they did what they needed to do in the final three quarters. But to talk about the home field, I would say it's a bigger fact. It's a big factor. You would much rather be home. But I would be more worried about it if we didn't have an example of the crowd noise not bothering the Rams, you know, on
That's
paper.
That's true.
I mean, they put up 483 yards. They started that game slowly, but that place was rocking throughout because the Saints got to such a big lead in that game, scored touchdowns in five of their first six possessions, that place was going absolutely nuts. And the Rams players talked about it this week. They said, we were fine. And
I would say the Saints defense had not reached its peak yet at that game. They didn't peak until later in the season.
They're two totally different teams, I think, now than they were then. But my main thought is that the offense handled the crowd noise great. It was not a problem communicating, and they put up some points.
I can't get out of my head the way the Rams played against Dallas. A lesser team, we all get that, but all five of the Los Angeles offensive linemen graded positively by PFF. Andrew Whitworth had one of the best games around. The way they used their wide receivers to block and chip linebackers and then get open for Jared Goff, that game was utter domination. Up front, I thought, for the Rams, this is about Aaron Donald trying to get to Drew Brees, one of the least pressured quarterbacks in the league. And the big difference here, I think, is Michael Thomas dominated the Rams last time. They have Aqib Talib back, and that changes everything. That takes a lot of pressure off of Marcus Peters. He can talk and yap all he wants. He's not going to see as much of Michael Thomas, if any, in this game. It's going to be a lot more Talib, and that means a lot less Sam Shields as well.
Yeah, you talked about the offensive line. That wasn't just like a dominant performance. That was, you know, maybe the greatest offensive line game I've ever seen. I mean, they had the most rushing yards in their history, and Goff was pressured once in 28 dropbacks, which was the second least amount by any quarterback all year. You could not dominate more, and just the playoff aggressiveness, and you hope they can repeat that if you want to see a great game in New Orleans. It wasn't just the linemen. I mean, they were just kind of a nasty team, and you don't think of the Rams as a nasty team. First play of the game, Robert Woods just knocks Jeff Heath's block off, like cracks him on the ground. Next play, Tyler Higbee cracks DeMarcus Lawrence on the ground. Roger Saffold had, when you watch that game, one of the most dominant games a guard can possibly have, kind of embarrassing Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. And part of the reason they were struggling and getting pushed around so much is you could tell they were thinking. And they're young players, and they were trying to think about all the misdirection and everything that was happening, and it was allowing Saffold to just get these free shots at the second level. And if you're the Saints, you got to be worried about that. But they do have more of a veteran linebacker group, especially DeMario Davis, that you would hope kind of his head wouldn't be quite as scrambled as the Cowboys clearly were last week with everything McVay did before the snap.
The Rams, 6-2 on the road this season, 13-3 on the road in the Sean McVay era. So This is a very good road team. And like you said, we already saw it in week 9, 45-35, a game that you look at the score, if you don't remember the game, that game was, as Greg mentioned, a game the Saints got way ahead in, and the Rams came all the way back and had all the momentum at 35-35, and then the Saints did what great teams do, was they pulled it together and then finished off their team, finished off their opponent. Wes, to your point, so you're saying in week 9 you didn't think the Saints' defense was a finished product or they hadn't peaked, and certainly, especially what we just saw last week, that points to that being an accurate comment. Is there a case to be made that it kind of averages out a little bit because the Saints' offense isn't playing at the level it was earlier in the season?
Sure, and I don't think Drew Brees is playing at the level he was earlier in the season. Certainly, the offensive line is not playing at that level. Andrews Pete, in particular, had 4 penalties last week, and we find out he's playing through a surgically repaired broken hand, and he's in a lot of pain. Now he lines up across from, you know, Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. That is a huge problem for the Saints right there. That matchup, Andrews Pete and the center of that, their center isn't very good either. Max Unger, he's just an average center. He can be pushed around. I think that's a big problem.
The Rams, though, when you look at, like, they struggled to stop the run for much of the year, but they were great last week. But they, when you look at them, there's holes in the secondary. I mean, you would think, I mean, this is Sean Payton, this is Drew Brees. You would think that they were going to attack them through the air. And you mentioned Tlaib. I don't know where Tlaib and Marcus Peters are at. Like, Tlaib has returned, but they haven't, you know, they played the Eagles, didn't play great against them. And now, and since then, they've played 3 offenses whose passing games are not that dynamic. And I just, Peters hasn't had a good year. Tlaib hasn't really been tested that much. And I would say LaMarcus Joyner has not had the same kind of year he had a year ago. He's struggled a little bit. And he's the one who's going to get stuck with Michael Thomas sometimes in the slot, you know, that, and that's a tough matchup just size-wise. It feels like there's holes in this Rams defense because as good as they played last week overall, like, they still haven't found a pass rush. It doesn't look like a Wade Phillips defense. Like, you think Wade Phillips, you think lots of blitzes, guys rushing off the edge, you know, counting on the cornerbacks to play man coverage and that they don't have to cover much. And, like, that's not this Rams defense. I'm not really sure what this Rams defense is.
I'd be concerned a little bit for the Saints, too, having Sheldon Rankins out of the lineup. That's a big loss against the run. They give up.
Well, they're going to put a guy who's better against the run into the starting
lineup. Taylor Stallworth?
David Onyemata, who is really good.
The Eagles kept trying to test
I still think
that.
It's a loss, though. Rankins
is a better pass rusher, probably, but I think Onyemata is really good against the run. That's why the Saints are one of the best run defenses in the NFL.
I think the Eagles almost got caught trying to I don't know if it was because Rankins was out, but almost trying to test that, you know, point that, okay, Rankins is out, and they kept trying to run up the middle last week, and they just couldn't get anything going. I mean, I don't think they had more than a 5-play drive their last six or seven drives. I think they're similar, that you got to attack, even though the secondary is better with Lattimore and Apple and Von Bell's playing well. Like, you would think that the Rams are going to need more than 26, 28 attempts from Jared Goff this week.
In the backfield for the Rams, what did we see from Todd Gurley? Now, it's an interesting situation back there because CJ Anderson comes aboard in week 16 and hits the ground running and produces at an all-pro level, which is becoming one of the crazy stories of this NFL season in the last month. Todd Gurley comes back, and Greg, in your opinion, did he look like Todd Gurley? Did he look close to Todd Gurley?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have a hot take.
He got out-touched by CJ Anderson.
I think he looked like Todd Gurley for the most part. I mean, I think CJ Anderson was just too good to take off the field. Gurley did play more than Anderson, played about
Think about that comment you just made.
I know, it's crazy.
Well, that was the game plan. Sean McVay said that I'm not playing Todd Gurley going into the game as many snaps because he doesn't have his wind back. He's not in football shape from missing a month.
And he played 44 snaps, which is a pretty good amount. It was a little more than Anderson, who did get the ball. But, yeah, Anderson was making guys miss. It wasn't just he's just not a bowling ball. Like, they have one of the best rushing games possible right now, and they're going to keep riding. I mean, they had 270 yards against the Cardinals, who are not a terrible running run defense, a good game against the Niners, and then what they did against the Cowboys.
For a guy who was on the street a month ago, he has incredible synchronicity with that offensive line right now. They give him a sliver, and he's sliding right through exactly where the hole is.
Maybe he's like the bowling ball, the guys that throw the big meaty hooks in the PBA.
Oh,
maybe
he's that natural?
Yeah, like, you know, the guys that wear the glove on the hand.
Are we sure this is CJ Anderson?
That's another theory, because it's kind of, you know how Tom Brady.
What does that
it's
mean?
Clearly
like,
not the
I
same
mean,
Tom
CJ
Brady.
CJ Anderson is sort of like take him or leave him. He, you know, he was completely starting to fade out of the league, and they've made an agreement with CJ Anderson, the real CJ Anderson, to say we've built someone else sort of off to the side who we're going to put into your – we're going to acquire you.
Who looks great. Just
you're
like
gonna
you
You're going to be put up in an amazing Los Angeles mansion.
Right.
You're going to live high on the hog, but we're going to put this other creation in your jersey. And suddenly CJ Anderson, since week 16, nobody in the league has more rushing yards per game, more first downs on the ground, or rushing touchdowns from that time through the playoffs. This is CJ Anderson?
Remember,
not convinced.
Remember.
This was a guy who was a great player for the Broncos. Come on. Give CJ. What's up?
No, never mind. Go ahead. Keep going.
That was it.
Good luck.
They replaced CJ Anderson with like 1996 Natron Means.
I am not convinced this isn't true.
Other thoughts about this game, gentlemen? What jumps out to you when you were studying ahead of today's podcast, which I know you were?
I really want to lock up the Saints, but I feel super freaked about it. I don't know. I feel like the one issue for me is that the best pass thrown all last week was by Taysom Hill. I think he's a huge factor. I love the way they use him, but I just don't know.
You cast doubt on Drew Brees?
I'm not casting doubt on
him
at all.
That was a doubt cast.
I think that they really impressed me the way that they – I was never more nervous about the Saints than when they were down 14-0 against a magical Eagles team, thinking this has all – the makings of a letdown of a team that
or
rolled
Mark
in,
losing his lock.
Well, or the team that rolled in as the number one seed and
Mark
just not getting
mind.
It done. And the way they fought out of that hole gives you great confidence. But this game is hard to. I think both these games are impossible to pick. I don't know what to do with this one.
Well, why don't you pick it?
Brees hasn't hit
you
it.
You got to do it, Mark. You're a pro. This is what your job is.
I mean, you can wait a little bit. You want like 2 more minutes?
Do you need like 120 seconds?
My lock is going to depend on yours, so I have to wait.
Oh, you're playing the
well,
game.
Well, I'll get it out of the way for now.
Well, and I can switch mine
I'll
as
lock
much
up,
as I want.
I'm going to lock up the Rams on the road. Just because I think they're a little bit better, and I never really lock the Patriots. And I think Jared Goff and Brees haven't played their very best over the last stretch of the season. And that Goff, I think, did everything that was asked of him last week. He made some really nice third down throws. That they're going to need a little bit more of weeks 1 through 6 Goff to pull this game off. That they're not just going to be able to just run, steamroll the Rams the whole time. But I think the Saints kind of need earlier season Drew Brees too. That he, even last week, it was more about everything he did before the snap and looking off defender. And maybe that'll be enough. But he hasn't made as many like really difficult wow plays over the last 5 or 6 weeks as he did early in the year.
The last time – go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say that, Wes, you might have showed your hand a little bit there. There's a big-time lock strategy here because for those that aren't tracking this or maybe aren't, Wes is one lock behind Mark with 2 games to play. Greg and I both eliminated.
I don't have a hand.
You put it out there now that you're waiting to see Mark. And now Mark picked up on that. Mark said, well, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to change as much as I want. There's a lot of drama here with the Kissing Cousins, and I love it.
This isn't a critique of Mark, but the rules of the game state that we can change it apparently up until game time on Sunday.
So it sort of doesn't matter.
So if he changes, I can just go right back to at ATN lockups or whatever.
I get it. You have your two picks that you like, but you're not going to – if
I don't
one
like
of
any,
them is the
I don't
same
like
as
any of these games.
I'm with Wes. I don't like any of them. And Wes, if I pick a certain team and you want to change yours 25 times, I don't care. I couldn't care less at this
Who
point.
Who said, by the way, the rules you could change it at any time? That's a new
we've
thing.
We've done that. No, it's not.
That's
we've
new.
Done that.
No, we were fine with you changing it at the LA Live last week.
I changed
he's done it a number
I switched
of times
into two
year.
Losses.
We should just lock it up here, and that's what happens in the studio unless
well,
there's an injury.
I think number one, because you two are out of it, that Wes and I can dictate our own rules. We really don't care what anyone else has to say about it.
All right.
Fine with me.
Okay.
I'm
fascinated by it because I know this means a lot to you, Mark. A lot.
I'm competitive. I want to win, but I think that Wes has been an excellent competitor too. And if he were to, you know, if we were to go into Super Bowl week tied, that would be nice drama.
Mm.
Anything can happen.
Anything.
I think there's less strategy than there could be, particularly because neither of us has a read on these games.
Mm, interesting.
That's how I feel.
Very interesting.
Well, it is two games that are 3-point spread. I mean, that could be that is. You know, the desert telling you these are four teams that are pretty even on neutral.
What do they
field.
Say, Greg? That 3 points
it's
is given
field.
To the home team.
Basically, yeah.
So basically, yes. That's
so there
exactly
you go.
What's going on.
I feel like the Saints need to just give Alvin Kamara the ball 35 times. Don't you just like – it's almost like they wait. They don't use him as much as they possibly could, and it's like, now's the time to just do it.
I like the Saints in this game. I have to say that I think they really did show me a lot coming back down from 14-0 with all that juice that the Eagles had. They're flying high. And the way, like Wes said, the way New Orleans defense just said, no, that's enough.
You're done.
That's it. You're done. The Eagles never even had a chance on offense except for that last drive where the Saints got a little bit lucky with a deflection and an INT. But that was an incredible defensive effort, and I think Drew Brees and the offense, which hasn't been as good in recent weeks, I think they're going to show up in the NFC title game in their building, and that's why I think this is like a – I think it's a 7-10-point win for the Saints. I think this is their game.
Last time these two teams met, Jared Goff came up small at the end of the game. He made bad throws and bad decisions, and I don't think he's been a good quarterback since then. When's the last time he passed his team to victory like Drew Brees did last week in the second half? I just don't think Goff has played well for about 2 months. And to me, that's why I'm going to –
I mean, the Chiefs game was since then. So
right.
They scored 54 points. But
yeah, but that would be the
but you're
exception.
Right. Yeah,
to
you're right.
What done.
Since their bye week, which was after that Chiefs game, he hasn't been the same.
And that's where I feel like the Saints have a pretty good advantage. I trust Drew Brees more than I trust Jared Goff right now.
We also – one of these – this is
which
the,
coach do you trust, though? I mean, this is the Sean, the Sean Bowl.
I don't think there's an easy pick between the two Seans at all.
I don't trust either of these defenses, by the way. I don't think the Saints defense is really that great. I think both these teams are going over 30. I think they're fine. Like last week was some unforced errors and some quick drives and, you know, things happen. I think they're just fine.
And making plays.
I don't think there's a top 10 defense left in the playoffs, and that's fine.
I was going through my All-Pro list, and I've got Cameron Jordan and DeMario Davis on my second team, Von Bell on my third team. Some people have Marcus Lattimore on their second or third
team. He's playing great right now.
They have really good players on that defense.
Eli Apple's helped them a lot.
He's been good. It's fair.
Anybody else have the Saints?
I have the Saints.
I have the Saints winning.
Well, if you don't have them locked, then I'm going to lock up the Saints.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. That's the gameplay.
But I could lock them up too. I'm not getting backed into this confrontation to begin with. Hey. That's what happened last year, and that's why there's like a split trophy on your desk and mine.
Here's the thing,
though. I could care less at this point. You get to this point, and you're either ahead by enough to
not
be.
But you won then. Then all you have to do, because you're far enough ahead –
We could tie in the Super Bowl.
No, just lock whatever he locks the next 2 weeks and
that, if you want to be, we all sit around praising Belichick for putting his heel on the neck of the snake. Or you can do this thing where for the podcast, you just sit here roll into a reverse lock.
Or
like,
just
with
lock,
a road team.
Lock who you feel the strongest about.
Yeah. I haven't
just
decided.
Play
yet.
The game. That's all.
Do snakes have necks?
I have not decided.
It's a very long neck or no neck at all.
We'll see.
All right. There you go. Let's, quick halftime. I'll throw it to Mark Sessler.
We do have an update. Now, last week, Greg, you will remember that we had an update from the WTA, which is – what does that stand for again?
Women's Tennis Association.
Bang. And it was odd. I don't know. We have sources all over the place, but someone sent me the diary entry of a yet-unranked female tennis player, Nina Penkova, age 24, and she was going through a lot of drama. She was struggling on the court. She was set to face Ivana Saddles in the Sydney International while dealing with a jaded ex-boyfriend, Philip, whose number she blocked because he wouldn't leave her alone over text. We have another diary entry or two, just a follow-up from a week or so later. Let's go.
Let's hear it.
January 10th, 2019. Dear diary, I haven't written for days. Feelings of intense anger flow through me. I lost my match to Ivana Saddles at the Sydney International, a 6-2, 6-1 nail-biter. It might not seem like a close match to you, diary, but I was up 1-0 in the second set. But then, during a 30-minute rain delay, I heard Australian broadcaster Rebecca Mattern tell viewers, "This Nina Penkova, she's just a baseline player. Nothing else special to her game, Charlie. Only you can know this, diary, but it got into my head. My coach Boris urged me to brush it off, but I couldn't. I melted down. Saddles has a powerful second serve, I'll give her that. I totally hate her. I know I'm the better player, and that's why I refused to shake her hand after the match, which made the news. So what? I have no reason to be kind to Ivana Saddles. She seems like a giant b**** diary. January 12th, 2019. Dear diary, Philip won't give up. I blocked his number days ago, but the hotel concierge brought me a telegram with the words, "You're mean, Nina. I helped fund you start to finish at the Cincy Open, but it's not about the money. It's about the talks we had riding horseback over the Swedish wilds in October. Now you've ghosted me. That's what teenagers do. Not a real woman. Massively hammered on expensive vodkas at a subterranean bar in Western Prague. Hotties everywhere, but I'm dead to all the senses. You've broken my heart. January 14th, 2019. Dear Diary, so confused. Got a text today from Ivana Saddles. It reads as follows. Why not shake my hand, Nina? We're both just trying to make our way. I have no ill feelings for you. I enjoyed the competition. Look, I want to talk with you about that kink in your backhand, which reared its head in the second set. I went through the same exact issue. Maybe I can invite you over for steaks and some red wine. Talk some shop. I don't hate you, Nina. Don't hate me. When I see you on the court, you glow like diamonds. Your friend, maybe, Ivana Saddles. Mm.
That's why it's America's fastest growing sport, all this intrigue.
It is?
Women's tennis?
I mean.
What metrics are you going on?
I mean, I just made that up, but I think that's
you're trying to help out.
I think that's acceptable on this show, yeah.
Yes.
Just edged out cornhole.
Let's move to the American Football Conference, the AFC, and let's dig in. The New England Patriots.
By the way, I did know you locked against your girls' team. That is bold move there, Chris Wesseling.
Wow, what does that matter?
Bold move.
What does that matter?
Just saying.
Paramore, I have no influence on whether the Rams win or not.
The Paramore, no. A St. Louis native, moved to L.A. The Rams followed her here. She cheers for them with all her heart.
It's one of the biggest fans I know of any team.
In fact, yes, when we were at the Rams playoff loss last year, she had tears in her eyes. And Mark and I had a drink with her after the Saturday game, after the win, and I'd never seen a happier girl.
She was extremely happy.
She's a happy person.
If
all
nothing
the time.
Else, you know that she's gonna, you know, she's gonna rub it in your eye when they go down to the Superdome and make all my
I'm rooting
Saints
for
fan
the Rams.
Friends unhappy.
I'm rooting for the Rams.
I'm worried
Rams
about the
game.
Wedding now.
But I got a competition to win with Mark.
See, you're out for blood, and I like it.
I'm not out for blood. If you play the game all year, you don't like in the second last week say, "Oh, because my fiance roots for this team."
But no, you should.
I'm gonna put it.
You're playing smart.
You should just.
I mean, if
smart.
You're gonna be in a competition, try to win the competition.
Well, just, we could be teammates and both lock up the Saints.
Right? Yeah, you should. You know, you should just pick them because they're gonna drop a bomb on the Saints.
But I don't believe that. You do.
The Patriots travel to Arrowhead to meet the Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams very impressive last week in the divisional playoffs. The Pats whooped up on the Chargers 41-28, but we all know it wasn't even that close. The Chiefs dismantled the Colts, who are flying high, look like the hottest team in the league, and then they looked like the 1-5 Colts, let's face it, in a 31-13 loss. So these two teams move on. It's one of the better AFC title games I can remember on paper, Greg, and let's start here as a Patriots fan. And I know you're always saying house money, house money, house money. Nothing matters.
That's not nothing matters. That's appreciating what you have. Because if not, it's like, what are we doing here?
Okay. That said, is there an AFC championship opponent that scares you as much as this Chiefs team?
In previous years or a
let's
potential
say in the,
one
in the
this
last
year?
Post-ACL
certainly
Brady
the,
years?
Well, the 2015 Broncos. Certainly.
Yes, that was a very good team.
That one, they and the even defense. And because the Patriots team was worse, I would say the 2013 Broncos as well. You know, it that's the thing about the, you know, the talk about the dynasty ending and all that. With Brady's age, I get it, but this team fits right in with many of Patriots teams throughout this decade that probably aren't the best three teams in the league, but are comfortably in the top five or six and make it to this weekend with some defined weaknesses. Like that's where they fit. But this is as good as it gets. Yeah, the Chiefs.
This is the greatest age and career statistical disparity between quarterbacks ever in a playoff game. It's also the most combined wins by opposing head coaches in a playoff game.
Well, that's like between these two matchups, it's almost too easy to kind of go, this is like old versus new. I mean, we can either get Breeze and Brady in going against each other in the Super Bowl, two of the greatest ever who've been around and kind of dominating the league for a while. Not that Breeze has gotten this deep in the playoffs very often. Or we can have something totally fresh, Rams-Chiefs.
Is this – we talked about in the NFC because it felt like a draw with the head coaches. Are these the four best head coaches in football playing in these last two games?
I think you'd throw in Doug Peterson and Pete Carroll would be the
But if you had to make
suits.
A 1-4.
I have no problem with this right now with these four being put up as the best four.
That's pretty cool. You know these teams are all going to be super prepared, ready to play this game, and there's talent on both sides of the ball. And I think on the Patriots side of it, Mark, and I think anybody that's ready for the Patriots to go away, and you're in the club, of course, as well, is that was disheartening what happened against the Chargers because they went from a team like you can maybe make a case for they aren't as strong as past years. Well, what they did to the Chargers makes you think they could beat anybody in the league at this point.
They broke them in 10 minutes. I mean, the game was over. The Chargers came back, and there was the deep shot to Keenan Allen. They tied the game up. But when New England came right out on the second drive and did it again, I thought that Los Angeles was totally broken. Mm. And I'm not sure that happens again. I mean, the weather in this, the Patriots are not a team. You're not sending the 1980s Seahawks out of a dome into the snow here. This is not some team that is a warm weather team. They practice in snow. They show them doing that this week. They relish this. I don't think they're intimidated by the weather at all. But there is an interesting stat out there that the Patriots with Brady are 30-6 in games at or below 30 degrees, which sounds remarkable. But 30 of those games were either at home or against the Bills or Jets. That to me also, you can just throw all that out if you want. I mean, they've got to find a way to stop this offense. And I think this is the kind of week that Bill Belichick relishes because you have to find a way to do what literally, essentially, almost no one else has been able to do consistently on any level, which is to slow down not just one, but all of these weapons. And I can't wait to see how he deploys defenders to knock Travis Kelce off his feet a bit before he runs his route, or Tyreek Hill, who's dominated them. And Tyreek Hill has owned the Patriots in these matchups, but this is a bit of a different Patriots defense right now. But I'm going to lock up the Chiefs because I simply think they're the better team right now. This scares me a lot because I probably spent more of the week just wanting to lock up the Patriots. This is about as dodgy as a scenario. Both of these games freak me out. So it's like, just roll with it. I think the Chiefs have the disadvantage of coaching. I think Bill Belichick is a slight favorite over Andy Reid, but I love the home field advantage. I hate the defense and they can't get to Brady. If they can get to Brady and they can make that Broncos game that you mentioned where they lost in Denver was all about, did they hit Brady like 22
right.
times
exactly.
in that game? I'm not convinced this defense can do that at all, even with Chris Jones and Justin Houston and Dee Ford. But I have a better shot than they did last week with the Chargers, which I thought on paper they could too. So who knows? We don't know anything. Erase everything I just said. I don't know anything.
I thought that was all good analysis.
That's how I feel about it. Every time,
Erica, let's edit out Mark's clothes.
I feel crazy about both these
up
games. I just feel crazy about both of these games. So
I'm worried about you.
Every time I found a Patriots advantage, I felt like I found a Chiefs answer. And Brady has a ton of experience in bone-chilling cold. Mahomes basically has none. And yet there's a long-held NFL axiom that older players don't do well in the cold. And if you look at, like, recent – this isn't even that recent anymore, but Eli Manning outplaying Brett Favre after Brett Favre had a much better year that year. And Brady, I mean, let's be honest, has a much weaker arm than Patrick Mahomes at this stage. That's a factor in really cold weather.
Right, but if it's so cold that the vertical passing game is – really affected, that ultimately hurts the Chiefs, I think, more just because their offense is based more around the vertical passing game.
But we just don't know how it's
right.
going to affect the vertical.
You don't know. You would think. I do think you can say that Patrick Mahomes had one of his least accurate games last week in the cold, that especially on throws over about 15 yards, he misfired. I mean, it was not one of his stronger games down the field.
He also made, what, how many, like, side-armed and
– made great, great
no
throws.
No look passes.
He played well, more than well enough to win, but they also had five straight possessions, you know, without a score, which is rare to see. And he just missed more throws. There were open guys that they could have had even more points, and you're just not used to seeing that quite as much.
So what they did on defense against a Colts team that a week ago, for good reasons and for well-researched reasons we loved, can that happen against New England? I don't know if there's any carryover, but I'm more hopeful than I would have been a week ago.
I think there can be more carryover from the Chiefs defense than anything from that Patriots game. I don't take anything from that Patriots game other than Brady's healthier. He's moving a little better. Edelman's definitely looking better than he did early in the season. And I think, you know, they're feeling good about themselves. But that was such a coaching – like, guys were so open in that game. And they won that game. You're right. They won the game in the first 10 minutes. They won that game before they snapped the ball.
Brady barely even dropped back in that game. It was a play-calling masterpiece with screens, swing passes, shovels, play action, quick slants, motion, anything so he would not drop back and get hit. And I don't know if you can do that 2 weeks in a row. I certainly don't think you can do the same thing on the road that you did at home.
No, I agree. But you did do it pretty well against the Chiefs last time. That's not a game where, you know, he moved pretty well, evading pressure a couple times in that game. But for the most part, that was a pretty easy game for the Patriots offense. That was the game that kind of got everyone thinking, oh, I guess these are the – because at that point they were 3-2 and didn't look that great. And that was the first game where you thought, okay, on their best day they can look like the Patriots.
They were up 24-9 at half in that game.
You brought up the weather, so we should mention that a day ago, as recently as 24 hours ago, the belief was that it was going to be around zero, a true Arctic blast scenario. Now there's been a shift in that, so it's going to be in the 20s and then with the –
That's a big difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. Yep. The real feel, which is a thing in weather now. I'm not a meteorologist, but that's things.
I think that's been around.
Is that what the wind chill used to be?
Hey, it's kind of what the wind chill used to
probably
be.
Probably factors in other things.
Don't put yourself down. You are a real meteorologist.
Thanks, bro. it will feel like zero. But it was supposed to be like historic. Larry King got to be 150 years old at this point. I hope the man lives forever. You never want anybody to die. So I'm glad that Larry's still with us. In fact, I saw him at a bagel shop near where I live about 6 months ago, just chilling with some other old people, having some coffee. It's a place called Brooklyn Bagels.
Spotting.
And Larry was just like, hey, I'm an old man from New York. I'm going to go to Brooklyn Bagels and just hang out and be an old man. What Larry had to say was on Twitter, where somebody tweeted for Larry, hey, let's cancel this game. Let's postpone it. It's too miserable. And if it was going to be -5, -10, maybe old Larry had a case. But in the 20s, this is not going to be near anything historic. It's just going to be cold as balls.
I mean,
end of that weather report from me.
I love it.
Meteorologist Dan Hansis.
I think it's clear that none of us have any tangible football experience and none that would translate on any level to anything above a grade school level. But I do remember.
You know what? I take issue with that because if you ever covered high school sports in the Northeast, specifically baseball, it is miserable sitting and watching teenagers play baseball for 3 hours. Oh, I know what it's like to be truly cold watching sports.
Well, I was just going to say that we've all been out there playing snow football, right? Or like awful winds. And I always thought for me, and that when you're on offense and you're the wide receiver or something, it favored you against the little defensive back who's frozen 5 feet away from you.
Yep.
And you burn around him. I don't know if that has any, maybe cold weather just favors defenses, but I would rather be Tyreek Hill knowing where I'm going in 1 degree weather than trying to figure out where Tyreek Hill is going.
It's a fair point.
I agree. And I do think, though, the running game shouldn't be too effective. And that was the one takeaway. You know, that's the thing I've been banging the drum all year for the Patriots is I think they're a good running team at their best. Shaq Mason, David Andrews, Joe Tooney inside have done a really good job opening up holes for Sony Michel. And that was one thing that they were really good against the Chiefs the first time. I mean, that's kind of why they won that game offensively is they had their way with the Chiefs running the ball. And as a Pats fan, that's kind of my hope in this game is that you're going to get Sony Michel, you're going to get James White here and there, certainly in the passing game going up against their linebackers who aren't great, Hitchens and Ragland. I think that's a good matchup. And that they just control the game, that's kind of who they are as a team, and you're going to get a few nice throws by Brady, and then you're on to Atlanta.
Well, they're not predictable usually. Like usually when you have their game plans figured out, but to me, that makes the most sense. Play bully ball, shove the Chiefs defense around, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, and try to win that way.
They ran right at Chris Jones, too, who's a great player, but did, you know, and rushed the passer, had a forced fumble in that game, but they kind of ran right at him because he gets up the field. Belichick's good at attacking weaknesses, and to me, it's that secondary has been okay, actually, but it's the linebackers, and maybe it's up the middle running again.
They have not been on the road, New England, since they scored 10 points against the Steelers on December 16th.
They're not a good road team.
Football Outsiders has them as the 31st defense on the road and the second-best defense at home. I mean, that's outrageous.
One other part of their offense, which is now it's gotten to the point where we don't even really talk about it anymore, and I was joking about it down in the newsroom during that wretched game last week, but Gronk was getting called out for a great blocking all game, and he is. He's always been a great blocker. But he was targeted once in that game. It's gotten to the point now where he's just not an active part of the offense.
I'd just be careful on that.
Here's the thing.
I'm speaking from what we saw, not what we have seen.
No, I don't think because of the game planning is the Chargers involved him run blocking means that you won't see him as a receiver in this.
You think it's not at all noteworthy that he had one target in a playoff
game? No, I think it's absolutely noteworthy. I don't think you can project that and say he's not going to be a factor in the passing game this week. I think it's a different matchup. And I heard Romo talk about it, say, you know, don't count him out next week from having a big game.
Well, as a total homer, he looked better on that one catch, which is 25 yards, than I've seen him look in a while. He did draw a pretty important pass interference in that game.
You don't get a target for that.
Right, you don't get a target. I'm just saying.
I mean, that's
that counted.
Seems silly that you don't.
And then
if you watch – like watching that, like he was open a decent amount, but it's like everyone was open. Brady had his choice.
It was
interesting though, because I went back and watched like the week six game, and Al Michaels was like, "This is a matchup of the two best tight ends in the league," and no one would say that anymore about Gronk.
On Sunday we talked about that, and I think Brady played very well in that game, but that was the point that I was making on Sunday that. It wasn't even like a challenge for Brady. It was like I think Geno Smith could have tore up the Chargers the way he was protected, the way guys were running all over the field wide open. I'm just saying Brady executed the game plan well, but that was just like it was fish in a barrel.
He knew where the answers were.
Who do you trust more, Bob Sutton to get to Brady or Belichick and Flores and his entire staff to make life uncomfortable for a second year quarterback? That's why probably about an hour from now I'm going to switch to the Patriots.
What if we phrase it this way? Who do you trust more, Dee Ford, Justin Houston, and Chris Jones to get to Brady, or Trey Flowers and a bunch of jabronis to get to Patrick Mahomes?
How dare you.
That's fair. I think that – I mean, Hightower and Flowers played a nice game last week, but the Chiefs have been doing that week after week.
Flores has done a good job, and he did it against the Chiefs the first time. They got free rushers – on Mahomes. They've been so creative. It's going to really test the Chiefs in terms of their communication. I trust the Patriots defense to get more pressure because Brady will check out of it or just get rid of the ball quickly. But Dee Ford is the one guy that worries me the most.
Playing in Kansas City.
Dee Ford against Cannon and or Trent Brown is a big-time mismatch.
And Justin Houston played really well down the stretch. They are the only team with two edge rushers in the top 10 in pressure percentage.
It's a problem. Like when Andy Reid's so good at those first 15 plays, and the Patriots are one of the only teams that kind of shut that down, they outscored opponents by almost 100 points in the first quarter. So they are a front-running team that is just used to getting out ahead. I mean, that's outrageous to outscore opponents by 100 points in the first quarter alone, and then they did it again last week.
Did you catch
that
yourself
happens,
there?
I'm done.
Did you catch yourself there?
What?
Calling Andy Reid Andy for a second? It's like, Andy's so good at that. You know, he's just –
well,
you know, that's Andy.
You've interviewed
I think I said and he.
Oh.
guys, something clicked for me with these Patriots. They're absolutely right. They're the underdog here. They're the underdog. They're not wrong. Started it off with that quote from Tom Brady. Everybody thinks we suck. Julian Edelman, he's spot on. Those T-shirts he's hawking for $30 – bet against us, he asks.
Fine fabric.
Let's not hide behind obvious truths. The Patriots outscored 21-6 in the second half of last week's game. Look it up. Number two seed? Yikes. 11-5 this year? Their worst record in 9 years. Let's not ignore that there have been four Super Bowls the past 4 years. Have the Patriots made them all? No, only three.
Solid point.
Coach, he's like 70. The quarterback, 30 touchdowns, 4,700 yards, and 100 passer rating this year through 17 games. Gross.
Ish. Gross.
it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's a miracle the NFL is even letting them play this game. America loves an underdog. Let's get behind this one. Bet against us and count me as part of the team. I'm locking up the Patriots! Let's go, New England!
The best satire I've seen all year.
No, I think it's good. It's kind of like
an go, Pats!
It's Dan's. He's taking like a 72-hour antidepressant pill because I don't like. I would be worried about that we wouldn't be able to do the show if he was moping around like he was last week. But now that he locked it up, he'll be like, "Well, at least I locked it up." If they win,
it'll
be
Pat.
Like
there's no
a
way.
Small consolation.
They lose this game. They're the true underdogs, and underdogs like they were in 2001, champions that year, and once more, let's go, Pats! Ow!
You're convincing me to join you.
There's no way they lose this game. It's a slam dunk. Everything is lined up perfectly with Tom Brady. He said, they all think we suck.
So the thing with that is, they first of all, most of the year has been spent around, like, why aren't they the same Patriots? And so that's what they're pushing back. But I think it's more that just people don't like them. And that they're right about. It's not so much that they don't suck. They're just sick of them.
They stink. Tom Brady said it himself.
I saw this poll of like what Super Bowl matchup fans want to see most. 44% had like Chiefs-Rams. 43% had Chiefs-Saints. And then like the rest of the 12% included a Patriots matchup. All of America basically does not want the Patriots.
You're not getting what you want. Bet against us. I dare you.
Us.
Against us.
No one believes that.
Sam Darnold.
No one believes any of that because we've talked
Sam
to you.
Who?
We've talked to you all week,
Patriots
all season.
Future.
And I've never heard you as confident in the Patriots losing.
Well, that's before he realized they were one of the more convincing underdogs in history.
Oh.
What a hard luck story for this team that nobody believes in them. And basically their whole dynasty, like, you can forget about it. It doesn't even matter.
I've already bought three of those Julian Edelman $30 T-shirts. That goes straight to, I'm sure he's going to give all the money to charity. He hasn't made any mention of where the money goes yet, but the shirts that he's hawking, bet against us, I'm sure that will go to a good cause and not just to line his pockets with rubes.
I think it probably will fund his next like bro vacation with Danny Amendola.
Hey, Ricky, you got a lock
I mean,
up. You
want
to join me?
He needs some extra
Join
money.
Us?
No.
You don't want
what?
To?
What? I can't even look at this game. I can't even open my eyes. I'm really, really.
Come on, everybody.
Enjoy
bet
it.
Against us.
I'm excited.
These are the weeks.
We beat them once, and I believe that we will do it again.
Come on.
I am nervous, but I am excited.
Get on.
And I think the Rams are going to do it.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
That is a bad sign.
That is
not good. I'm not going to touch it because I don't even want to be involved.
Bad sign.
So go ahead. Bet against us. You just did.
I'm not betting against us.
Here's the thing.
By not locking up the Pats, you bet against us.
No, I don't want to jinx us. I just am nervous, and I just want to stay
away
from
it. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Don't.
Do you know who's under pressure in this game?
Who?
Billy Boy Belichick.
Why is that?
The old man.
He's got a couple of
He's
got a couple of game plans in the Hall of Fame, taking out Marshall Faulk and Thurman Thomas. Can he do the same thing with Tyreek Hill, who has bedeviled the Patriots the last two matchups?
He really hasn't had the answer for the Chiefs.
No, he hasn't.
Not defensively. Mm. He's overmatched. It almost gives me a little consolation that the Chiefs are just a more talented team, that it's going to take a lot from Belichick to overcome that.
I mean, I don't know if he's recovered yet from blowing last year's Super Bowl.
Mm.
I don't want to lock off with you, Mark, and I know where you want to come. You want to join me. This is where the true glory is, the underdog glory.
Keep an eye on Twitter. I mean, I could get into a certain state of mind and switch. I will not.
I think Chardonnay is going to help
me. I will say this. Out of
you should put a deadline on.
Out of sportsmanship, so this, no matter what, will go to the end, barring a total meltdown, I will not switch to the Saints. That is not –
Don't
not,
do it that way, because that does not help the game any more or less. That hurts the game.
I picked them to win, but I'm not going to lock the Saints.
But I'm saying he shouldn't not lock them just to keep the game alive.
No, he's saying he's not going to do like a last-minute change. He's going to go with the team he's picking.
As long as it's from the heart.
Right.
That's what the game's about. It's always been about the mirror.
Well, I mean, there's another week to this, no matter what, probably, likely, next
Unless
week, too.
Unless Wes's team loses and you win.
That's right, but then that will happen outside of any sort of bizarreness.
We should just have a preview show about the lock.
I mean, yeah, I can imagine that.
Two of the greatest coaches ever, like the MVP against like the greatest player of all time. Nonsense. Let's talk about the
lock. There's no doubt there is a massive chunk of anyone listening to this that could care less about this contest and is getting probably 18 minutes too much content around it.
All right, that's it.
Well, are we going to pick these games?
I believe I made my pick. Did you pick? I know you're carrying the water with me. Come on. We're going up and down that hill together.
I really want to see Brady in another Super Bowl because of his excellence. I don't really want to see Belichick in another Super Bowl after the stunt he pulled last year.
the Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Blowing the Super Bowl to make a point.
Give me a break. I forgot that Belichick got on your radar. For
oh, my God. He just blew the game.
That's
gave
the reason
like
I was
600
crying.
Yards.
Remember?
Were,
yeah. I was like, what
you
happened to Malcolm
Butler? Eric Rowe getting destroyed in coverage. Give me a break, Belichick. I would love to see Brady in there, but I think the Chiefs are too talented. And
bet against us, bro.
And they have a huge home field advantage, and the Patriots just aren't a good road team this year. So I'm picking the more talented team in my eyes, the Chiefs.
Add to the course. Bet against us. $30. Sell those T-shirts.
I don't feel well enough to bet on it, even if I was allowed.
Yeah, you're not.
And I really do want to see Brady in another Super
Bowl.
Really? Just because I admire and respect him that much.
All right.
Enjoy it. You know, for Patriots fans out there, you know, turn down your P scale. This is great stuff. You having a chance to go to Kansas City to be part of these games. You can't
yeah,
take
Greg,
it for granted.
Huge chunks of Patriots fans totally disagree with your mental wrappings around the Patriots experience. They are going to live or die with what.
No. I'm going to be very disappointed. My point is the excitement building up to this game. Thinking about the matchup of just like. It's not going to last forever. It's ending soon. The fact that they're even back in this game.
You said this for 4 years.
It's true. I mean,
the truth
of
the matter is that you are, as a Patriots fan, and I know Bostonians don't
enjoy the moment,
but it's like being a Yankee fan. What happens is when a dynasty rolls on, the winning doesn't feel as good as the losing hurts. It's an old Parcellsism. That's why he got out of the game. He got to the point where the losing stuck with him longer than the wins did. When you're in a dynasty, that you're just like – it no longer do you get that same thrill when you win, but the losses kill you. So it doesn't matter where I feel like your head is at. It's going to be a stinging pain if you go down before the Super Bowl because that's just the way
no doubt.
All fans are hardwired.
Although, honestly, being on the road against the best team in the league and this team specifically makes it feel different because there's, like, no shame in that. And what they did last week was pretty exciting.
And nobody believed in them.
And I do mean it, though. Like, they – the first time they wrote off the page, like, is the Patriots dynasty over, was 2009. Since then, they've been to more conference championships than 24 franchises have combined and have in their entire history, like in the second half of Brady's career. So if you can't, like, enjoy, like, hey, this is a big game, like, this is what being a fan's about, give me a break.
But you're approaching 40. Go tell a 15-year-old Patriots fan who just has grown up in this and thinks this is how life is. Suddenly
15,
would be
like 25.
Sure, like it would be a psychic break to suddenly not be the greatest thing in football.
Maybe that 15-year-old needs the psychic break.
Well, no, they definitely do. Oh, and they're not going to sit here and be like, "Oh, I have the perspective too." Where like
it's potential
it's just
for
a nice to go
too.
Play. Go it's, play a nice game outdoors.
It's potential for one of the, you know, signature Brady wins. Absolutely.
Of course. Who are you picking, Greg?
Oh, I'm for the how many weeks have we done this podcast? But for that many straight weeks, I'm picking the Patriots.
Didn't you once not pick the Patriots?
Bet against us.
I've never picked against him on this podcast.
Ricky, you sure you don't want to get on board?
I don't want to put a bet of a lock or anything, but the Pats are going to take it.
I think Ricky refusing to lock up the Pats is one of the reasons I feel better about
it's
the
a cosmic bad sign.
No, I'm not.
We will talk about that Sunday night.
Dan believes in them more than you do.
It's not about that. It's not about that.
Dan could not have pulled off that bit if he believed any of that. He is so excited about this team going down on Jersey, as he talked about all week.
Everybody thinks we suck. Bet against us.
Dan believes.
All right.
He's an acolyte.
Next time you hear from us, we'll know the results of these games. And how exciting is that? Ricky's so nervous. Yes, so nervous. Oh, Ricky Hollywood's going to be in the garage. Throwback podcast appearance tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We won't say what we're taping. We want to keep that a secret. But
super exciting.
It's one of your favorite artists of all time.
Got to be JT.
The GOAT.
Chumbawamba.
The GOAT, you said?
The GOAT.
We're talking about the GOAT in the garage. That'll be fun. All right. Chumbawamba. You know who Chumbawamba is?
No.
Okay. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the Mailman, the old Zeuser, and the old boss. Oh, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Sunday night!